WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Composer and saxophonist Ornette Coleman has just released his first album in 7 years. The album was produced by his son Donardo, who's also featured on drums and has been managing his father's career since the 1980s. I spoke with Ornette and Donardo last week, before the death of Don Cherry. The new Ornette Coleman album is on the Coleman's new record label, Harmelotic, named after what Ornette Coleman calls his harmelotic approach to music. I can't quite explain what harmelotic really means, but I know it when I hear it, and it sounds something like this. This is the opening track of the new album, Tone Dialing. Donardo, I know for a lot of people, Ornette Coleman's music sounds so outside and avant-garde and inaccessible. You grew up hearing it. Did it always sound accessible to you because it was the language you grew up listening to?
Yeah, it's just natural to me. I mean, it's, you know, as natural as any other music that you might hear. You know, I don't think it's a matter of accessibility. It's just, you know, natural in terms of any music is really something that you can enjoy and understand without having to, you know, intellectualize it. Yeah, so to me, it was just as normal as anything else, and it is as normal as anything else as far as I'm concerned.
Donardo, can I ask you to share your earliest musical memory of hearing your father's music?
Probably playing together. You know, I think I expressed an interest in playing when I was really young, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, and I wanted to play the drums, and so he got me a drum set, and we just started playing together. And for me, yeah, that's really how I became a musician or learned, you know, what music was about, was just actually playing and listening and being in the environment as, you know, they were rehearsing. And all the people that played with him, you know, particularly the drummers, really were my influence, like Ed Blackwell and Billy Higgins, Charles Moffett. So I was just really right there, you know, in the environment. And again, it wasn't so much saying I really wanted to be a musician as I really just, you know, wanted just to participate. And
why drums? Why did you ask for drums?
You know, I don't know at the time. That was just what I expressed interest in. You know, I don't really remember exactly why, but it just captivated, you know, my imagination at that time.
Ornette, I think the reaction a lot of parents have when a child asked for drums is, couldn't you have asked for a quieter instrument? Did you ever have that reaction yourself?
No, because I think I suggested him to play the drums. I told him, you know, forget about how someone is seeing you through their own eyes or their concept of who they are. Just enjoy what you like doing, whether, you know, I don't think anyone has to please someone in order for them to enjoy what they like to do.
When Donardo started to play drums, did you think that eventually you'd be in a band together?
Well, actually, I love your questions, because I really feel very bad that I've taken up more of Donardo's time for him to assist me in what my needs are in relationship to a composer and a performer, because basically, Donardo has his own expression and his own music, and in some way he has put that on the back burner to assist me and his mother.
Do you feel like you've done that too, Donardo?
No, because, you know, I feel so much a part of what we've done together that to me it's been the same thing. You know, although there's some other things that, you know, that I've been thinking about trying to explore, which is going to be part of some of the other records we're going to be putting out.
DiNardo, when you started playing drums, did your father have any rules about around the house about when you couldn't practice because it would bother the neighbors? You know, the typical drum problem.
No. Although I remember once when we were practicing, like, in the garage. At that point, we were living in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know if neighbors complained to somebody, but there would seem like a whole battalion of police showed up one day. And they were very aggressive.
And they pulled their guns.
They pulled their guns?
Yeah.
I think they were surprised to see, you know, him and I just in the garage rehearsing. I don't know what they were expecting, but, you know, I do remember that.
Did you ever find out who called the police?
No. But, you know, I don't really remember anything else in terms of, you know, being restricted, though.
Well, I guess that taught you a lesson of how angry people could really get. Jeez, I guess it taught you a really different lesson, though, about the police.
Yeah, well, you know,
I don't think it was music. I think it was racial.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
DiNardo, what did free jazz mean to you when you were young? You know, when you were a child.
It didn't mean anything to me.
It just meant more music?
No, wasn't even aware of it. I was not even aware of free jazz or any categories. You know, like I said, to me, it was just a natural sort of experience, just, you know, playing music with my father and other guys that were playing with him. And, you know, I made some records and I would actually go and play in some performances. And that was it for me.
You know, when you say free jazz, I feel the same way. I never told anyone I was playing free. In fact, I went to a promoter had hired me to play in Cincinnati, and he had posted around the city a free jazz concert, Barnett Coleman. And the night of the concert, about 5,000 people showed up, and not one had bought a ticket.
Well, they thought it was free jazz,
yeah,
right? No admission.
Yeah, right.
Ornette, remember you said earlier that you sometimes feel bad that you feel like you've maybe limited DiNardo's options because you've needed him to work with you in the band and managing you and all that. In what sense do you feel like you need DiNardo, that he's doing something that someone else isn't going to be able to do for you?
I love your questions. Because those questions sound to me are psychological, social, and racial, and everything else. But basically, what I was referring to is the fact that I read in the paper the day where a brain specialist, a guy went in the hospital and said, "This leg is going. This is the leg I want you to take off. Do you know the right leg?" And when he woke up, it was the other leg that was taken off. So for me, I would rather work with someone that know what I'm trying to achieve.
Right, right. You know? You feel like with a lot of people, they misunderstand you.
No. I said to know what I'm trying to. For instance, I had an interview with a very good critic in Europe last week, and he said, "Oh, you know, this music, I really love what you're doing, but I don't understand it." I said, "Well, I want to ask you a question. If you did understand it, would you love the music better?" You know.
And so, now apply this again to working with DiNardo.
Well, I think also, you know, it's really been my decision to really kind of take over more and more of, you know, the responsibility of trying to get what we're doing, you know, better exposed to the public and, you know, and also the value of it to, you know, to be realized in a more effective way. So, you know, when you see that that's there and that's not being done, and, you know, we have a family business is what we have.
Right.
And so, you know, really hasn't been anybody saying to me, "Well, you have to do this or do that," except for me.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
All right. Thank you very much. Terry, do you play music or sing?
Oh, I've played a bunch of things badly.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think you played them badly, but I thought you must be connected to music.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I've played piano badly and French horn badly and clarinet badly.
Uh-huh.
And even a little bit of guitar badly.
Next time we play, bring either one of your instruments to our rehearsals. Maybe we could find something good.
Hey, I sing really badly, too.
Oh,
this sounds great. Say I did that.
Yeah.
What would the first thing be? What would we do?
Well, we would first ask you to do something that you enjoy, that you feel you do well. then we would play with you.
Oh, that's interesting. So you just kind of play around me.
Well, actually, you know, I was going to ask you if you were a composer. I could give you an example of just how our musicians that I asked to do what I'm asking you to do would feel more comfortable doing that. Because, for instance, you know, maybe you have a favorite key or a favorite, for instance, the Bach piece on the record.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking for a classical guitarist, I had asked Chris Rosenberg which piece did he like, and he said, oh, I like this piece by Bach. I said, well, play it. Then after he played it, I said, you know, I'm going to take my horn and interpret what you're doing harmonically. And when I got through, he said, I want to join your band. So I said, that's just the reason why I did this, so you could see why I'm interested in hiring a classical player. Because if you listen to that piece on the CD, you will see that he's playing it twice, and the second time he plays it, he sounds like he's playing changes for us to play to resolve harmonic ideas. And when he's playing as a solo piece, it sounds like a melody.
Mm-hmm. Although he hasn't changed.
He hasn't changed.
The way
nothing
he's playing
changed.
It,
not
both
at
ways,
all.
He's playing the same
so
thing.
So you
ways.
Could do that with us very easily. Mm-hmm. Even if what you call bad.
Ornette and Donardo Coleman. Their new album, Tone Dialing, is on their new record label, Harmelotic. This is Fresh Air.